Matthew chapter 13 has a parable, a couple of parables that Jesus told. One of them is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, the parable of the sower. I love that parable. It's, if you've ever, you know, been raised on a farm or around a farm, or even you like to garden, anything like it, it kind of gets in your blood. So that story that he told, Jesus told about the sower, resonates with me. I like it. And again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel all have that. But then just a little bit later, only in Matthew's gospel, he tells this story, this parable of the weeds. And it only shows up in Matthew's gospel. It's an important gospel, or an important parable, and I'm glad that it's included in Matthew's gospel. Alcoholics Anonymous, when it was founded 80-something years ago, adopted the Serenity Prayer as their central theme, if you will. And you probably know the Serenity Prayer. It says this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Serenity. Give me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, Lord, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's not just an applicable prayer for people in recovery. It's an applicable prayer for all of us. And I think this parable of the weeds is all about this. It's about helping us to understand what we can change, what we cannot change or should not try to change, and finding some peace in knowing that God will sort that out. Let's look at chapter 13 of Matthew. And we'll flip on down to the parable of the weeds, which starts in verse 24. It's also included in your bulletin there. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and they said, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring into my barn.'" Now skip down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, and they said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' Jesus answered them, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons and the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom and everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." It's a wonderful parable, and Jesus gives us the added benefit of explaining to it, to the disciples, and it's recorded for us, exactly what he meant by that. I think this parable is important because it teaches us some things about what we can change, what we cannot change, and that we need to trust in God that he is going to sort things out in his time. One thing you may not have known about this, when you hear about weeds in the wheat, and I put a picture on the front of the bulletin of some obvious weeds in the wheat. Some weeds are really obvious to see right off the bat. You're like, that's obviously a weed, we should pull it out. Other times, and you may have been guilty of this, of watering some weeds in your flower bed, saying, you know, what is that? I don't know, did I plant that? And you're not really sure until later on, until it starts putting on these ugly thorns, or it starts creeping and taking everything over, that you're like, that's a weed, it's got to go. The weeds that Jesus is referring to here, and if you have footnotes in your Bible, my NIV study Bible talks about this, and I've read a lot about it this week. He's talking about a plant called bearded darnel. Bearded darnel. Charlie, you probably know all about this stuff, being a field range kind of guy. Bearded Darnell looks like wheat. It grows like wheat. It puts on heads of grain that look a lot like wheat. And you can't tell the difference. An untrained eye cannot tell the difference until it's almost time for harvest. It looks just like wheat. But it's not a good thing. Bearded Darnell, not only is it not nutritious, it's intoxicating in little doses, and in big enough doses, it's fatal. Its Latin, or its scientific name, comes from the Latin word which means drunk. So some people would actually seek this stuff out to get a little bit of a thrill, but they also found out if you get a little too much, it'll kill you. So when Jesus is talking about these weeds, they're not just a little bit bothersome. They are weeds that are evil and toxic. They're weeds that are sometimes not that obvious to us as untrained, with our untrained eyes. And maybe we don't have the ability to sort it all out. Yes, this bearded Darnell is also called wheat's evil twin. It's also known as a mimic weed. It mimics wheat, and that's how it kind of hitches a ride. It hopes to get harvested along with the wheat and just gets propagated when it's replanted. It's mostly eradicated in this country, but it appears in some other places. And it also shows up in literature other than the Bible. If you're a Shakespeare fan, when King Lear, who lost his mind, went a little bit loony, his laurel, his crown, was made of Darnell. So maybe Shakespeare was leading us to believe that he was kind of chewing on his crown a little bit there and lost his mind. So bearded Darnell, it's a new thing to me. But I think it's exactly, and the scholars believe this is exactly the stuff that Jesus was talking about. So when Jesus is telling this point, or this parable to the people around him, there were some weeds in their world that were pretty obvious to them. I think, first of all, of the Romans who were occupying their country. Obviously, evil country, an evil occupation. They had, the people, the Jews, had no power over them whatsoever. There was no way they were going to be able to weed them out. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. A time is coming. It'll be weeded out. A little bit closer to their circle, I think of the scribes and the Pharisees who dominated them. And they came up in our class this morning, who had this really strict rule of law. And they had this legalism and this system set up. And Jesus said, you're binding things on the people that are keeping them from heaven. And you're making it unduly hard on them. But again, the people had no power to remove them. And Jesus never advocates taking them out of power. I think he was telling them that you're going to have to trust that God will do that in time. So how do we look at this parable of the weeds today? And how does it apply to us? I want to show you three circles here that I've been kind of thinking about, and I think it's kind of a way for us to look at this. If you look at this in concentric circles, there are, on the outside, farthest away from us, there is the world. Like Venn diagrams back in school. Remember these things? Every math class always started with a Venn diagram. That's the only thing I remember from math. The world around us, there are some things that are obvious weeds in the world. There is evil abounding in this world right now. And sometimes we want to go out there and we want to fix it all, right? We look at social media, we look at the news, and we want to just go out there and fix it, fix it, fix it. I think Jesus is telling us that there are some things in this world that you're not going to fix. It's not going to go away. You're just going to have to find some peace in knowing that I'm going to deal with it someday. Well, what is our responsibility for it? Well, we are called to still be a city on a hill. We're called to be a light in a dark world. And as Wayne said in class this morning, the light, but the darkness hates the light. So you're going to be hated. You may be persecuted, but you're not expected to go out and fix every evil in this world. It's not our job to go out and fix the evil of Hollywood or whatever else you want to pick. Washington, D.C., for that matter. We can be involved, but we're not going to be able to change some things. There are some weeds that we cannot pull up, and they're not going to be taken out until the harvester comes. We are still called to be representatives and ambassadors for Christ. There are weeds in this world, in this outside of our circle here, the farthest part of our circle. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are called to protect ourselves from that influence. That's as far as it gets. He says, you're not going to fix it, but just try to protect yourself from it. But let's move into that Second circle, the middle circle, and I'm going to split that one into three levels, if you will. The church. There's the church universal, all over the world, the church, and that's a big term. I'm going to use that loosely. But we all have within us this innate desire to draw our circles, right? We want to say, I'm in, Randy's in on a good day. You know, Justin, I don't know, he may be a little far out there sometimes. So we draw our circles, right? And some of us have some really tight circles. And I think we've got to be careful about that. I think Jesus is telling us, I mean, this is me applying. This is me taking this a little bit more. Obviously, Jesus, when he told this parable, he said, he's talking about the world. But I think we can transpose and we can apply this a little bit further. If I'm looking at the church universal, I'm sometimes tempted to draw the lines and draw the circles. Now, we know from our New Testament readings, and we know from the epistles that the apostles wrote, that there are going to be false teachers out there. There are false teachers out there. Some of them are pretty easy to identify. When Creflo Dollar just goes on the TV and all he's trying to do is raise money for his next Falcon 50 jet, I mean, obviously, that's pretty obvious to spot and say, that's a weed in the wheat, in my opinion. Pretty obvious. Others are a little more subtle. So what do we do? Well, over and over through the New Testament, we're told to study. Study this word. Know this word so you can spot those weeds. A trained eye can spot. I mean, even an untrained eye can spot careless weeds in wheat, like on the front of your bulletin there. But if you study and you get better at knowing the word and knowing what's in there, then you can begin to spot the more subtle weeds, like the bearded darnel. Know what is right. Know what is wrong. Protect yourself with knowledge. Know where to, and when those false teachers come close, it says to rebuke them. That's about as strong as it gets, though, in the New Testament about false teachers in the church universal. We don't have to go down the street and try to correct everybody else on what we think is proper doctrine. But if we take it even a little bit further, down to from the church universal, let's come down to our tradition, churches of Christ. And in Abilene, you've got a full gamut of churches of Christ. You've got them from way over here on the right to way over here on the left, and you can find anything in between. But there's something, again, unique about, I think, and I guess other denominations have this problem as well. I hear from time to time that they do. How we tend to want to become church police to people within our own tradition. Sometimes we are tempted to pick up the phone and call somebody else, another Church of Christ in town, and say, why are you guys doing this? Don't you know that's wrong? And we're officially cutting you off. And sometimes they'll even write letters to them. And it just gets a little bit silly, I think. I think if we look at this parable and apply it in a logical way, it may be a little bit beyond what Jesus was implying, but I think it's true. We have to stop and say, you know what? That may be wrong. I may not agree with that, but I'm going to let God sort that out. I'm not going to go try to pull those weeds and correct everybody else who I think disagrees with me. Pretty soon, if you do that, you're going to end up going to church by yourself. Let's take that one step further now. And notice as you go from the outside of the circle toward the inside, responsibility is going to go up a little bit. Now, talking about other churches in our tradition, now if you want to call somebody, if you've got a friend at another church and you're concerned about something that they're teaching, that's one thing. If you approach them with concern and like, do you believe that? And you know, you can talk to them earnestly and responsibly, that's fine. Let's take it to the next level and let's get more specific. Talk about our church family here. Now things begin to change. There are some weeds that can pop up in the church family where we have a clear responsibility to do something. Jesus, in his own words, just five chapters after this one, Matthew chapter 18, he says, if a brother sins against you, go to him. Try to talk it out. If they don't listen to you, go back with somebody else. If they don't listen, then you and you can't turn them around, you treat them as a tax collector and you push them out. That's a weed that you got to pull. If you've got somebody in your church family now, not another church down the street, not another denomination, but somebody in your church family who is divisive and they are teaching something that's false, or they're living in a sin that is just obvious and setting the wrong example to people around them, you've got to go to them. You've got to warn them, warn them again. If it doesn't work, dismiss them. Pull that weed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, remove them. Pull up that weed. Galatians, it says, talks about confronting them. In Titus, it says, rebuke them. Over and over, inside the church family, if there is a weed that is obviously growing within the wheat, we do have a responsibility to take some action. Let's take it all the way to the middle of the circle, though, and let's look at this at a personal level. What weeds have we cultivated in our own lives? What weeds have we cultivated, have we planted, or maybe somebody else has planted them there? If you want to be like Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it, maybe he put them there, but are we watering them? Are we tending to those weeds and letting them grow with the wheat in our lives right now? And they may look harmless. It may be that mimic weed that looks just like bearded Darnell and it's growing up right along beside us, but maybe my career has become so engulfing that I am just constantly busy. Seems harmless enough, right? But it's keeping me, it's choking out the other good fruit in my life. That bearded Darnell doesn't just grow there at no expense. It steals away from the wheat crop that's growing along side beside it. If I am letting weeds that look harmless take over my life, they are beginning to steal the good fruit of my life. What about legalism? Do I get like the Pharisees and I get so rigid in what I think I have to be doing that if everyone is not checking the boxes just like me, then either I feel like I'm an outsider or I want to draw the circle so tight that you're an outsider. Legalism can be a weed that grows up in our lives and just choke out the grace around us. What about the relationships that I have with people? Maybe it's a close, intimate relationship that is not good for my walk with Christ. Is that a weed that is choking out my productive fruit in the world? Am I willing to take action to stop it? What about a bad habit that steals my joy, it steals my service and my witness from other people? You fill in the blanks. There's all kinds of things that can be weeds growing up in your lives. I'm reminded of what God said to the people of Israel through the prophet Hosea. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, sow for yourselves, plant for yourselves righteousness, and you will reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness, and you're sowing, you're reaping evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception, because you have depended on your own strength. That's a weed that grows up in our lives. Our own strength, relying on myself. You have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. He's telling the people of Israel, plant for yourself righteousness. Rely on God and trust in Him. When you see the weeds out there outside of our church family, when you see the weeds in the world, know that God's going to take care of that. There's going to come a time when the harvester comes back and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the bearded Darnell from the good wheat, and he's going to burn the weeds. It's not up to us always to do that. Our job is to trust in him. Our job is to have the courage to change the things that we are supposed to change within our church family and especially within ourselves in that inner circle. It's also to have the peace that comes only from trusting him to know that he will sort the rest of it out in his time. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your sovereignty, Father, that you know all. That while some things to us look fine on the outside, you see our hearts and you see the hearts of others. And you know what is the good fruit and what is the bad. We trust that you will separate that at the harvest, Father. We trust that your grace and the sacrifice of Jesus will cover the weeds in our own hearts, Father. But until then, we want to do our best to live lives that are pleasing to you. So give us the courage, Father, to address the weeds in our own lives, the courage to pull them out. And Father, as we look around us, just give us the peace to know that you will sort out the rest. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.